Welcome to Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of your life. This program is brought to you by Hidden with Christ Ministries of Tustin, California. Now, here's Rita with Keys to Victorious Christian Living.
Hello, friends. We are continuing our study from the series, How to Live Free from Oppression. Today, we're going to talk about the entrance of oppression through fear. In Isaiah 54, verse 14, the latter part of the verse, we find these words, "For you shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you." We know in the scriptures that the Word of God is true. And if God says that if you don't fear, you'll be far from oppression, then we can be rest assured that the reverse will be true as well. If you do fear, oppression will be close to you. The oppression of the enemy is the attempt of Satan to bring dominion into your life in some area or to dominate you in some arena of your life. As Christians, we know that we have the protection of God. We are covered by the blood of the Lamb. And yet, how is it that sometimes Christians will have levels of oppression in their life? We know from Amos 3:3 this scripture, "How can two walk together unless they be agreed?" This scripture gives us insight that there must be some area of agreement that we have to enter into in order for Satan to be able to walk alongside of us and torment or oppress us in some way, because this is not the will of God for the Christian's life. And yet we see throughout the church many people who have oppression in their lives, who are truly born again and spirit-filled Christians. What is the answer? The answer is that Satan is a legalist, and he looks for a legal loophole in order to get a foothold, as the Apostle Paul called it in Ephesians, in our lives to work some area of oppression against us. Fear is a foothold that will bring oppression into your life. 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us that God did not give us a spirit of fear. Fear is an evil spirit. God identifies fear as a spirit in 2 Timothy 1:7. Therefore, we must deal with fear spiritually, not mentally, emotionally, or physically, but spiritually, because fear is a spirit. We can either give in to the spirit of fear, agree with the spirit of fear, accept the spirit of fear, or resist it and trust God and believe God as we're instructed in the Word of God. The spirit of fear will try to get a foothold as early in life as allowed. Even in the womb, Satan will try to attack a pregnant mother with fear, because the child in the womb senses the emotional state of the mother. And therefore, it's vital, if you are a pregnant woman, to guard yourself from fear and from fear-inducing images when you're pregnant. God wants you to raise up your child without fear. It was His intention that every one of His children be fearless, full of faith, and without fear. It's vital for you to guard your children from exposure to fear-inducing images as well as teach them how to deal with fearful thoughts at a very young age. Many parents are not wise in this area and allow fearful television programs or fear-inducing images from video or television or movies to be put before the eyes of their young children. Those types of images are open doors for a spirit of fear to gain entrance into a child's life. There is no child that should be subject to nightmares, or what is referred to as night terrors, where they wake up screaming and run to their parents in the middle of the night. Why is a spirit of fear allowed to enter into a child at a young age? As parents, we have a responsibility to guard our children from fearful images that will be an open door, or from scary books. Don't read books to your children that have scary themes. You're inviting a spirit of fear to have an open door and a field day in your home. As my husband and I were raising our son, who is now about ready to graduate from high school, we were determined from the time he was in the womb that we would raise him without a spirit of fear, that he would be fearless, full of faith, trusting God in every area, and not given at all to a spirit of fear. And we knew that we were to guard him in the womb and as he grew up. And so we were very, very vigilant to keep any image, whether it be in the images that are brought in certain toys, which are fearful or scary, whether it be in children's books or any other arena that might introduce fearful imagery into his life. And he's almost 18 now, and he has never had a nightmare his entire life. But I give the tribute to the Lord, because he taught us as young parents to be wise, not to allow the spirit of fear to get any foothold in our home life. So I encourage and exhort you parents to be very wise. The television is a very dangerous introduction to the spirit of fear because of the types of programming and imagery that is very popular at this time. So be wise. If you are to raise your child without a spirit of fear, you must be wise what you allow in front of their eye gates and into their ear gates. God never intended for us to be slaves to fear. The first mention of fear in the Bible is in Genesis 3:10, where Adam says, "I was afraid," and this was immediately after the serpent showed up in Genesis 3:1 and enticed Eve and then Adam to sin. Sin is an entryway for the spirit of fear. Romans 8:15 says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of sonship when we cry, Abba, Father." Fear is a tormentor. Ask anyone who's in the grip of fear, and they will readily agree that fear is tormenting. 1 John 4:18 instructs us, "There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment." Fear is a tormentor. God wants you to be free from every tormentor, and the spirit of fear is a wicked tormentor. The spirit of fear is also a robber. Consider this. The result of fear in your life can be described very well in that one word, robbery, because fear will steal your hope. It'll steal your health. It'll steal your money, your relationships, joy, faith, and love. We see fear of all kinds tormenting people. Fear of marriage. I've met many single people, they're afraid to get married, so they have a fear of marriage. And then I've met many married couples who have a fear of divorce. Then there's people who have a fear of remaining single or being alone. There are fears of health problems, illness, terminal diseases, and disability. You see many people with fear of loss of money or status, prestige, reputation, fear of losing their job, fear of living a miserable existence, fear of death, accidents, or tragedy. Many people are tormented by the fear of their children being harmed, or they're tormented by the fear of the future, or fear of the past being repeated. Satan will take it from any angle. There's also people who are tormented with the fear of rejection, and it affects every relationship they enter into. There's people who fear being exposed or humiliated, and then those who are afraid of intimacy. And so that fear keeps them from enjoying relationships and even enjoying God. You know, in Job 3:25, we see these telling words, "For the thing which I greatly feared came upon me, and that of which I am afraid befalls me." Job was robbed because of fear. The extreme danger of allowing a foothold or stronghold of fear in your life is that you will get exactly what you fear. It is an open door for the devil to bring to pass the very robbery of which you are afraid. This is not God's will for your life, but Satan has legal access only where you give him ground. And fear is from the kingdom of darkness. That's Satan's ground. You have to make a decision to obey and trust God's word over the devil's whispered suggestions. But the good news is God has a remedy for fear. Jesus has given us a very simple word. He said in Luke 8:50, "Fear not, believe only." A very simple prescription. Fear not, believe only. We are told 365 times in the Bible to fear not. Believe only. Well, what are we to believe? We are to believe the word of God over the word of the enemy of our souls. But I will warn you, this takes work. You must renew your mind with the word of God. You have to have the word of God on your lips and in your heart in order to combat the whispered lies of the devil. Memorize what the word says about fear and about God's protection and his provision. Few people take the time and energy to put the word in their heart, so they are not ready when an attack of fear or any other type of attack comes against them from the enemy. This is a war, and we must fight the fight of faith. And the fight of faith is fought with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The good news is, if you fight, you will win. However, if you don't fight against that spirit of fear, you will be run over by the enemy, because we live in a time when fear is on every side. But God is good. Psalm 56:4 says, "In God I will praise his word. In God I will put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do to me." Turn your heart and your attention to the word of God, and do as Jesus said, fear not, believe only. This is Rita Langland encouraging you, have a victorious week in Jesus.
Thanks for joining us today for Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. If you would like to support this ministry, please write to us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. That's P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. Visit our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com, where you may order tapes or submit a prayer request. Or call us at toll-free 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, thanks for joining us for Keys to Victorious Christian Living.